reconvene for the admin portion of the meeting. Let's see here. Pull that out. I have one item on consent. I move passage of that item.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, so on discussion matters, we have the SPP grid notice communication from Victor.
Sure. Commissioner Christman asked me to add this item. I don't know if he wants to go through it or if you want me to. I can walk through the slides I sent out to everyone.
Go through it at a high level.
Sure.
Please.
So this is something that SPP had in the works after the cold weather event, Storm Uri, last year. The notification system. So this provides for anyone who's interested to receive notices from SPP of grid conditions. And this kind of entire presentation kind of explains what each of the notices are and how to sign up for them. So this was kind of parsed out of a much larger presentation so that it's not, it's a little bit more usable to the average person, because I think that's our intended audience here, is to advise anyone who's interested on how to receive those notices and what they mean.
Do you mean this general public too, or are you talking?
Yes, absolutely. General public, media.
Press, yeah.
Absolutely. And if you're interested in this, Dave, I can send it to you. So the first page there is this different grid conditions. And they're all kind of walked through in subsequent slides, but this kind of gives you the whole, from the far left there, the green state of normal operations all the way to the worst case scenario, which is a restoration event. Indicating that there was a uncontrolled outage on the transmission system.
And so I just want to make a comment on this slide. So I've been doing the Regional State Committee of SPP since spring of 2017. And until last February, I don't think I'd gotten any kind of a grid condition notice ever. And I think there had only been ever a couple in history. Of course, last February, and you know, I never signed up for these, just as RSC and COG members, they just had gotten Victor and my contact information. And that weekend, actually on I think Thursday or Friday already, leading up to when things kind of started going haywire on Sunday, and then for the next few days, phone was buzzing all the time with texts and stuff about conditions. And so think about what you want. You know, and or if someone asks you, yeah, I want to get that. Well, when things go bad, then you're going to get a lot. And so it is happening more and more, because that's the way our grid is evolving. I've gotten a couple of these, just the third line box in there, the resource advisory. I've gotten two or three of those here this, like in May, or maybe this last week, but I think it was late May, a couple of times when, and like what a resource advisory is, they're looking ahead, it's gonna be pretty hot in a lot of places, or in the winter cold, looking at the weather forecast, and a whole lot of the area is forecasting very low wind at that time. And so it is a resource advisory. If you're a natural gas plant, you know, get ready to go. If you're a coal plant, stoke up the boilers. If you're a fuel oil plant, make sure you have some fuel oil, that kind of thing. So, and I just wanted to make sure, I've asked Victor to, you know, see who he wants among public utilities to for sure be made aware of these things, and especially for the two of you, but anyone else here, they're available to the public, and just go to the website and sign up. So continue.
Sure. Thank you for that background. That does help. And just for background, there is a similar list you can get on for MISO, and I recently added myself to that distribution list, and I've got far more MISO notifications than I have SPP. I think they're mostly corrections to timeline is what it seems like. But in any case, So if you go to the next slide there, it starts to walk through. I won't kind of take all your time walking through what each of these mean, but it kind of walks through, you know, what causes it, what you're supposed to do as a in response to it, you know, who the stakeholders are, who the regulators are, all of the pertinent details. So it just kind of walks through those. Like I said, unless somebody wants to, I'm not going to take the time to explain each of those other than, you know, the first couple are more so, hey, just be aware, be ready to respond if something more serious happens, up until the point of where we get into kind of the resource advisory and conservative operations advisory, where you're actually going to take some actions as a generator operator. Mm-hmm. You need to take actions. The general public actually doesn't really get involved until the very late stages, but they're specifically requested to do so at those points. So if we go all the way to, it's actually listed as slide 16 at the bottom right. This is the exploders. Did I miss a page? Oh, no, I didn't. So, to sign up for notifications, so if you go to spp.org, there is a login/signup link at the top right. You click on that button, it has some very generic information about you. You don't really have to give them your life story, email address, kind of where you're at. Once you've created that account, click on your name in the top right, and then there's notifications, exploder list, that you can select, and there's lots and lots of them, I will say. The one that you want to do is Grid Notice Exploder. That's up the very final page, actually, that kind of defines which of those exploder lists you want to be part of. But there's lots of other interesting things. I mean, if you have some boredom in your life and you want to listen to some SPP meetings, you can get on their distribution lists and join our fun. So
the last thing then that I want to add to this, so after the February event, one state in particular, but a couple others I think too, I heard similar stories where governors were kind of chastising governors or members of congressional delegations, emergency managers in states, were chastising their RSE members, like, why wasn't I notified? Of course, then the response is, well, like, what notification did you want? Did you want a phone call in the middle of the night? Did you want just an occasional text? And are you talking about you yourself, your chief of staff, you know, who? And so because there had been so little of this, most of us had just never thought about it. And so I had the honor of being on the communications review committee, and like all this has changed, these levels and everything that are involved here. There were a lot of lessons learned, like the organization wasn't prepared for how to notify the press and, you know, in all the places where they needed to be notified and things like that. And so a lot of lessons learned by SPP, and I feel like we have reached a very good point now in our communications on this. And so I will be reaching out to the governor's office, and unless I hear recommendations for someone else, that's where I'm going to stop, because I'm not going to spend my days just running around searching for someone else that might be interested. But I'm going to offer this up to them, and they can decide who on their team and within various appointed agencies they want to have accessed, and then be responsible for getting new people signed up when there are transitions in personnel. So if there's recommendations from outside of the Public Service Commission of someone you think I should be talking to other than the governor's office, please let me know. And if not, I feel like at this point now I have notified us and will do the governor's office. And that's where I'm kept drawing the line at this point anyway.
Makes sense to me. Could put something on the website if we wanted, just to say, like, if you're interested in receiving notifications from SPP or MISO regarding grid changing grid conditions, and then just link to it, But I don't think it's our job to get this information out. It's kind of up to MISO and SPP. But we can help them.
Yeah. At some point, I don't know what point, I'm not that much of an IT guy, does it become unwieldy for them that they just have millions of people around the country signing up for stuff?
I would worry about that.
To the extent that some of the notices are about conservation, then I guess it's good. So I don't know if we can put it on our website if you think that's good.
If we can find a place for it, our website is really...
We have some consumer information sections we could...
Maybe contemplate that and see if we...
Yeah, I support that, but I'm sure in all these communications, people, utilities and all that are already signed up for it.
Well, one thing that we found out and was very clear in those early days was, so here in the SPP part of North Dakota, WAPA is the transmission operator, and then quite a few of our North Dakota distribution co-ops we're kind of reliant on them, I think, to keep them notified. And like I say, SPP's system was broken. I'm not going to speak for WAPA's or the distribution co-ops, but anyway, it was not getting to everybody it should have. And so, like, there are classic examples, but I'm also going to be meeting with the WAPA people to see what they have done to communicate with their distribution customers to see that people are aware of this. So that's the path I'm taking with the co-ops. But it is to some extent for the public too, because there are pleas for conservation in this as well.
All right. Thank you guys. Appreciate that. Let's see, government to government conference. Okay, so in your folder is this is the agenda for the government to government conference next week, which is being coordinated by the governor's office and Indian Affairs Commission. It's a really great conference. The agendas are pretty impressive, but it's lengthy, and I'm going to be gone the whole time. I'll be at MISO, so I can't attend any of the events, but I just wanted to check in and see if either of you were planning to or would like to, and then if we needed to add it to our calendars. I don't think we have to. I guess there is a registration. I'm pretty sure it's free. And I'm assuming you guys got this also, but if you didn't, I can forward
it. No, I got it.
Okay. And then, so I just wanted to see if you guys plan to attend. We can get it on the schedule. And I
have a couple things that I will be attending on Monday.
For this?
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
I can't commit until that morning, actually. Is the carbon neutral by 2030 presentation from Dave Glatt potentially one of them?
Yes.
So we should probably notice this then.
Yeah. I think we should.
Because here's my thing. We have a RSC education session that afternoon, and sometimes those have led to a lot of last-minute work for me this year's chair. I'd say it's a 50-50 proposition whether I can make it over, but that session in particular really piqued my interest, and I would go if nothing came up regarding our RSC session.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we just notice it then?
We'll do.
I think it's really good to have us participate anyway. I think it's pretty important that we support this effort, and so I'm glad that you guys can attend and represent the PSC.
The one thing I didn't get, and I mean, I was looking at the content. Where is this even at?
It's the Residence Inn.
Pardon me?
Residence Inn, look on top.
Boy, I would have gone to the Civic Center.
Wait. No, that's the check-in. It is the Civic Center. I apologize.
Yeah, it's always been there before.
Yeah, it's the Civic Center. My apologies. I was looking at the pre-conference check-in. Never mind. You don't have to do that.
Because I don't see it anywhere.
It was on the email.
The Institute.
Okay.
This was the attachment. It was on the email where it's at.
Good. Yeah, the one on Tuesday morning, that opening session with Rich Wardner looks pretty interesting too. I was also interested in some of the tribal chair updates, in particular, like the MHA and Standing Rock, just because we have more interaction with those two tribes for energy siting stuff. I think that those would be worthwhile to listen to, just to see what comes up in terms of things that they're talking about. Thinking about Standing Rock is, has expressed a lot of interest in getting involved in wind development, solar development, and they haven't reached out to us at all, but I've always been somewhat confused as to how we would be impacted, if at all, for those kind of projects. So I just think it's a good opportunity to maybe reach out to some of those folks. So, all right, that was it for that. We don't have anything on for scheduling, but I was kind of curious. Feels like we should be scheduling our summer picnic before long. But I don't know if we're prepared to do that now or if we want to.
Let's do that on the, I'll put it on the next meeting.
Okay. And then the only other thing that I thought we should be thinking about is, do we want to save some more time for budget discussions? Or do we want to have our meeting tomorrow and then talk about, we could talk about it there too.
Yeah, we can schedule there.
Okay. I think we should
see where we're at.
Yeah, I think we should probably save some time. Oh, there is. Oh, good. Way to go, Pam.
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Awesome. Got to have options. We're going to, yeah, it gets tough when people are gone a lot. And June is,
Pam's been on it.
Okay. With that, anybody else?
Yeah.
Adam.
Yeah, yes, I've got one question for the commissioners on whether, this is in regards to the One Elk addition for the pump stations, to case number 18-399. So One Elk wants to add a few pumps that would increase the capacity to 50,000 barrels per day. And I was wondering if the commission would prefer an informal on that one, or you know, I get the sense that we don't want a hearing for that. So if we don't want to schedule a hearing, which we haven't, if the commission would prefer an informal, there are no outstanding landowner issues on this one. The last time One Elk was in front of the commission, there was an informal. However, that related to the fact that there was some outstanding landowner issues, if I recall correctly.
That wasn't on this project.
But right? That was, right. So there are no outstanding landowner issues, no avoidance or exclusion areas.
What was it that you recommend, Adam? How is staff? I think the last time we discussed this, I was curious how staff feels about it.
Yeah, I feel that it's pretty cut and dry application. You know, staff doesn't have any issues. You know, I would recommend you know, not have an informal. You know, I'm not sure what issues are outstanding.
Okay. You know. So you would recommend moving forward with an order?
Right, correct.
I guess, why don't we, unless you guys want to have an informal, what I would recommend to staff is draft the order, get it around, leave plenty of time for us to look at it, and then if we feel after seeing the order and looking at the, you know, comparing it to the application, if we feel that there needs to be an informal, we can still, could do that fairly quickly.
Okay. What's the case number again, Adam?
Sure.
18 what?
That was the original application. So this is an amendment to 18399. And so this one is 22-164.
Does that work for you too?
I will say I'm okay with that as long as I want to make sure I'm understanding it the right way. If I'm potentially okay with proceeding without an informal or anything, but that doesn't mean that Friday afternoon or even Monday or Tuesday before a Wednesday meeting all of a sudden just shows up on the agenda and that's my time to review it. I'd like to have some time to review this before it goes on an agenda.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I would concur with that.
Okay.
Okay. Very good. Thanks, Adam. Anything else? All right. We are adjourned.